Good morning. So what is the point? Have you said those words at some point in your life? We can become frustrated in life, and frustration can turn into despair. And despair can lead to total despair and frustration. So how do we get out of that? Well, our Bible readings for today point out how it's possible for us not to become or remain defeated when we're in despair and frustrated. God be praised that He has not given up on us, that He did not remain frustrated with us to the point that He just said, "What's the point?" He did something about it, and we are the recipients of His grace. What He has done. We're at the third special emphasis Sunday in a row, from Ascension to Pentecost to Trinity Sunday, how all three persons of the Trinity work together for our good. God be praised as we focus on the work that our God, Triune God, does for us. I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words of thanks and praise.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Thank you.
Please stand. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, filling and renewing all creation by your eternal Spirit, and manifesting your saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In mercy, cleanse our hearts and lips, that free from doubt and fear, we may ever worship you, one true immortal God, with your Son.
Please be seated. On this first Sunday after Pentecost, also a Sunday where we celebrate the teaching of the Trinity, our first reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Numbers, the sixth chapter, emphasizes that the name of God is on us, but not just any God, the God of the Bible. The God who is described for us as three distinct persons and yet one God. We hear these words. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." The word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit is indeed active, and yet the focus remains on the Son, Jesus. And here is why. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 John 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For He has done marvelous things.
The Lord has made His salvation known.
And revealed His righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Make music to the Lord with the harp. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus points out that all three persons of the Trinity are working out for our overall well-being. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this is possible thanks to God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus back on the words of 1 John, where we hear once again, "Who is that that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, using the means of grace, has led us to confess Jesus as that rock and redeemer. Who or what has a tendency to get under your skin? That is, to really get your blood pumping, or perhaps even fuels your rage. Or maybe it's just the opposite. Who or what might cause you to feel defeated and isolated? The subjects of politics and lifestyles, well, they would qualify as things that might get under our skin and fuel our rage or cause us to feel defeated and isolated. Talking to a person who thinks they know it all could also do the same. A fellow classmate or an athlete, a co-worker, a sibling who tends to get preferential treatment, at least that's how we view it, well, that could fuel our rage and jealousy or lead us to feel defeated. Now, just because such things happen, things that get under our skin and either cause rage or the opposite, a defeatist attitude, that doesn't make such things right. People or topics getting under one's skin, that has happened ever since the fall into sin. And as long as life exists on this side of heaven, we can expect such things to take place. No matter how many catchy slogans we come up with or how many feel-good laws society can come up with, we're going to have to deal with such. Because the slogans and the laws do not really address the heart of the problem, that caged animal within us. At least not the way it needs to be addressed. How we deal with those under our skin moments, that does need to be a focus for us. And not just for us, but we then as witnesses and lights to the world need to help other people focus on how to deal with their frustrations and their defeatist attitudes. And not just when it comes to the physical affairs of this world, but especially when it comes to our spiritual side of life. The physical and the spiritual in a way, well, they go hand in hand, for they have something in common, namely the solution, and that solution is Jesus. Without Jesus, the world will break us and knock us down and defeat us. But with Jesus, we can and we will overcome. What that looks like is what the Apostle John, by inspiration, is addressing. Then and now, the problem, the root problem, is the same, and the main solution, the key solution, is the same, again, being Jesus. Dear friends, as John, by inspiration, emphasizes, you will overcome. And Jesus is the way to do that. He is the solution to overcome the world. A solution we need, a solution that is necessary, right? Because what are we dealing with day in and day out that can lead to getting under our skin and either fueling our rage or leading to a defeatist attitude? Well, just think again how sin has impacted our world, our life, our family. I mean, crime. Ridiculous. Nothing new. But crime is a huge indicator that something is not right in our society. Hate. Again, nothing new. Cain hated his brother Abel and killed him. Hate has always been a problem. And each one of us is capable of hatred that can go too far. And so it needs to be addressed. Further evidence, again, that we need a solution. But not just any solution. Death. Another clear reminder that something is not right in this world and that we need a solution. And then separation from God, because we do not start out as God's friends. We do not start out on the road of salvation. We are enemies of God, hostile to Him, headed toward hell. And as John points out, if we do not hold on to the solution, Jesus Christ, we remain separated from God for all eternity. As noted, the world really does not have doable answers. It has answers, but the answers fall short, don't they, too often? I mean, people get run over by cars, and so we should ban all cars. That doesn't make sense. We make wrong assumptions that people are basically good by nature. And how that wrong assumption then leads to other bad decisions and false assumptions. We reward bad behavior. Okay, you can steal, but we'll put a limit on how much you can steal. Any wonder why things get under our skin and drive us to rage or lead us to a defeatist attitude? For those who are in favor of abortion, did you wish that you were aborted? What is the logic behind it? Well, we know. See, day in and day in, right, we get evidence of the fact that we need a solution. But not just any solution to what is going on in our world. We need Jesus. And while we have Jesus, that doesn't mean the things of this world are not going to get under our skin, because sin will be present, but how we deal with sin in the short term and the long term has been clearly given to us, and that is through Jesus. Salvation comes through Him and what He has provided. That's why He came. The Apostle John, by inspiration, emphasizes that He came by water and blood. He began His ministry at His baptism. God the Father's approval. This is the one that was promised all along, my Son. And then at His death, where He shed His blood, where He purchased our forgiveness, where we have been able to become at one with God. The fulfillment of the prophecies regarding the Messiah are wrapped up here by the words of John. Jesus came as promised and set out what He came to do, to win our forgiveness. And there are benefits to His work, the forgiveness that we have, that peace with God that transcends all understanding, knowing that our sins are forgiven for all the times that we have let hatred get the best of us, for the times that we have committed a crime, but tried to make excuses for it. Or for the times that we try to justify lifestyles and make them compatible to God's word. All those sins Jesus took to the cross. so that we could have forgiveness. Not to find ways to get around God's word, but to have the motivation to all the more want to put God's word into practice. Someone once said, to have forgiveness is the key then to having every blessing. Because you think about it, right? Forgiveness puts our life in a whole new perspective. We're not looking at life from our own lens, from what is advantageous to us and us alone. We're looking to it from God's lens. And from that point of view, then we really have true joy in life because Jesus is the first in our life. Others are ahead of us, and then ourselves. We're looking how we can please God and not just ourselves. And a further benefit then is the gift of eternal life. And so we really don't have to remain defeated. Because we know what happens in this life is not all there is. It doesn't get the last word. Jesus has received the last word for us. He lives, we too shall live. We have been given the victory now already. Even though we don't get the full benefits till later, we have the benefits of that victory to relish in now. Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Who or what can separate us from the love of God that's rooted in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Or Revelation 2, where Jesus encourages us to remain faithful to him, to his word. And what is the result? You will receive the crown of life. Dear friends, we have so much to live for. Why give it up for the temporary? And so the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has done for us and how that benefits us, not just for now, but for all eternity. And so John encourages the readers then and still today to stay connected to Jesus. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, how all three persons of the Trinity work for our good. God the Father sending his Son to be our Savior. Jesus the Son being our substitute on the cross. And the Holy Spirit connecting us to Jesus and the work that he has done. Using the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament to get us into the faith and to keep us in that faith. That's why the means of grace are so important to be in on a regular basis. Like feeding our bodies, so we need to feed our soul. And if we feed our body junk, it's going to react accordingly. If we feed our soul with junk, it's going to react accordingly. God has given us the means to get connected and stay connected. Why? Especially as Christians, do we want to withhold that from our children and grandchildren and friends and relatives? God, help us lead people to Jesus through his means of grace. And then God also help us show that we are connected to Jesus. John 15, Jesus emphasizes that he is the vine, we are the branches. If we remain connected to him, we will bear much fruit. Fruit that is pleasing to God, fruit that will last. And so the encouragement then to be lights while in this world, we don't know how much of a positive impact we could have on people. We may not see the immediate fruits, but by the grace of God, the positive impact that we have toward people, the kindness and the patience and so forth, the fruits of faith, put them into practice and let the Holy Spirit work out the results. Show we're connected by what we say and by what we do. Earlier, before our text in verse 3, those beautiful words, love for God. What is it? To obey his commands. And his commands are not what? They're not burdensome. They're really a delight. They free up our conscience when we put God's commands into practice. And what is really his command boiled down to? Love one another. God help us not mess that up. So while the world can get us down, the Holy Spirit reminds us of how we are able to be picked back up again. And though the world may not love us, we have the ability to love the world. And just through that love, God might bring another person to himself. Don't underestimate the power of your love. And as the Holy Spirit also reminds us of, not just then to stay connected and to show that we are connected, but also to hold on to that truth of God, because the truth does matter. And what is that truth that matters? Jesus sums it up for us throughout the scriptures, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you hold to my teachings, you are my disciples indeed. I will be with you always. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. These things that are written in scripture, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Again, whose testimony, John reminds us, are we going to believe? That of the human beings who claim to have visions and put an emphasis on what you need to do for salvation? Or are you going to believe God's testimony, who emphasizes, I sent my son to redeem you, and I have a place for you that you don't have to earn, but has been earned for you? Are you going to follow somebody who emphasizes hatred as a part of their belief system, or one that emphasizes love, unconditional love? It matters, because without faith, we're not connected to Jesus. If we're not connected to Jesus, we're not connected to eternal life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And as John 3 points out, those who don't believe in Jesus now, well, they stand condemned now already. Which then leads to another passage of Jesus that is quoted, the harvest indeed is plentiful, but the workers are few. We have a mission field before us, right? Because everyone who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God is part of that mission field. God help us reach them. And the Holy Spirit lead them to confess Jesus as Lord. So, dear friends, when you're feeling the squeeze of the world, whatever that squeeze might look like, or you're feeling defeated when listening to the news, or you have your own doubts, well, contemplate how each person of the Trinity is working together for you. And even though each person of the Trinity is credited with a particular aspect of work, it all works together. Whether that be creation, redemption, sanctification. As we contemplate those truths, we can and we will overcome. And so stay focused. Stay focused on Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now turn to a confession of faith. It begins on the bottom of page 8. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth as this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But O best of all your graces, with your love, our love renew. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, we thank you, Lord, for you have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life. Continue to watch over them. Help them see the blessings in their life together. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. To help us stay connected further to our Lord and Savior, Bible study today taking place here in the church itself. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke. The handouts are there in the lobby next to where you got the bulletins. And then for our Sunday school, the family hour will be taking place starting at 9:15 in the multipurpose center. The study of Luke will start at 9:30. Coming up on June 24th, just a reminder that we have another movie night, and we're serving tacos. So starting at 5:30, tacos will be served. The movie will start roughly about 6 o'clock, and so you're welcome. We'll have that in the multi-purpose center. And then also on July 2nd, a Saturday, we're planning a River Cats outing. The 2030s group is coordinating this effort on behalf of all of us. So if you're interested, thinking about attending the movie night and or the River Cats event, there's a sign-up sheet there in the lobby under the TV on the countertop. So if you just could indicate that you're thinking about coming, that would be helpful for how much to make for the tacos and then just how many tickets we're thinking we might want to order ahead of time. Appreciate that. On the 26th of this month, we're having our annual congregation meeting, followed then by a voters meeting. The main discussion at both of those meetings will be our ministry financial plan for fiscal year 22-23, and also then the elections of officers. Just then see the weekly news for the things that are going on. Before we get to the Wells Connection for this month, Mr. Greg Meyer, I saw him earlier, where do you? He is right, yeah, okay. Blended right in there. It just has a couple words to say regarding the music class coming up. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Forgive me, I found out my mother-in-law just passed away, so she's been bedridden for quite some time, so she's now with the Lord. Thanks and praises that her suffering is over. About the music class, the first session is next Saturday, and it's the first one of four. And each one focuses on a different aspect of music, and of course the first one serves really as an introduction, and we'll be laying the groundwork for the course and studying foundational concepts of music like beat and rhythm, and also aspects of poetry, how poetry fits to music with the beat and the rhythm, and how that works with the hymns in our hymnal. So this is a good opportunity, if you haven't had a chance yet, to get your hands on the new hymnal and join us in singing some songs of praise and learning actually how those are put together. A good part of the example is from our psalm this morning, Psalm 98. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and the sound of singing. If I went up to each and every one of you in the lobby or around church sometime, I'd ask you, would you like to join the choir? I've actually done that with a lot of folks because we're always looking for more singers, and sometimes the answer is, oh, I'd love to, but I just, you know, I don't know how to sing, or I don't know how to read music, or I just don't know how. This is an opportunity for you to bridge that gap. That's one of the purposes of this course, is to not necessarily make everybody a member of the choir, because then pastor would be just preaching to the choir every Sunday. But it is an open invitation. If any of you would like to partake in that, you are all welcome. This is for people of all levels of skill in music, whether you're a beginner or you've been a musician for years. There's something for everyone. And it's all Bible-based, and it's a chance for fellowship, and we'd really love to have you there. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Education makes a difference, not just in academic achievement, but also in developing Christian character. A powerful illustration of how education can transform lives is on display at Kingdom Prep, a new Wells Area Lutheran High School in Milwaukee.
How are you doing?
Can't complain.
When we got started, it's hard as a new school coming into a space and just saying, okay, make us number one on your list, right?
It started off with eighth grade young men coming to build a high school. And so these eighth grade young men came to Wednesday night founders groups, and they started designing one at a time the mascot, the school day, what we would wear, where we would go on Exploration Thursday trips.
How do we create a space to be able to continue to serve kids from the city? How do we make young men who are ready to be men of the kingdom?
Anybody else got something that they want to say from what Mr. Spruer was talking about when he was last up here? Cam, what you got for me, loud and proud?
We now have about 200 young men, and you now have these originally eighth graders. They're now the seniors who've gotten much bigger, much stronger, much more biblically centered, and they are now raising up the next generation of freshmen who will come in here next and carry on the legacy.
Oh, it's all boys school. I was already struggling in middle school because, you know, there's females distracting me. All right, I'm going to an all guys area. Think of it as a football team, and everything runs smoothly.
And so when we first came up with the idea of an all boys school, we like brotherhood. We want to be brothers. We want to be a family.
Even with our lunch, we have a family style lunch where everybody comes to sit down at the table. We have a table captain. You want to work with your family through the hard times, the good times, you know, the bad times. You always with your family.
The next line, lazy hands make for what?
Poverty.
true?
Apostle Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in so by doing, you fulfill the law of Christ, which is obviously to love one another.
The way that we built brotherhood through Christ and God is like really important because he's like the main building block. He's what we all base ourselves around, and like being able to talk to other guys about that is one of the best parts about the school.
I have a group of people that I can talk to about religion, or if I'm struggling, they're always there to talk to me. They'll bring up Bible verses or anything like that.
Or you're on your game all the time and you keep on missing Bible study because you're on your phone or on your game.
So whatever hurts my brother hurts me. So if my brother needs help with something, I'm gonna be there to help him out.
We're only as strong as our weakest link, right? We're here to constantly being able to bend over and pick a brother up, fixing whatever traumas and things that they've experienced within themselves. Counseling is a big piece around here, and how do we allow them to be able to express themselves?
We live in a city where, like, there's a lot of bad influences, and you're not really able to be yourself. You're not able to be vulnerable.
I'll preach the gospel to them, right? But I'll then give them some practical wisdom in here and say, young man.
I was pretty down on the situation I was in, and coming here, it grew my faith with God, because as I was in a low place in life, I went to God.
Your personal mission statement should be timeless.
And then the realization of, I need my Lord to get me through these tough times, and it helped a lot build my faith.
Number two, you can find truth for your life by reading God's word.
Because you know, everybody has stuff going on at home or things in general, and like being able to go to a place where you can feel comfortable and like be vulnerable, talk to people without being judged.
We're preparing young men for leadership, for trade school, for college, for entrepreneurship, you name it.
I plan on going to culinary school. I plan on going to Northwestern Michigan. They have a really good culinary program.
I want to help out students. I want to help people get the things that I wasn't able to have. I love to just give back to the future generations, basically. So MLC, it's a school for teachers. It'll help me keep my faith while I'm still up there. And two, I can still play football.
All the things that I've learned, aside from academics, like all the life lessons teachers have taught me, all the good values and principles, I'm bringing out all with me as well.
They're starting to recognize, what does it mean to live in this kingdom first and foremost? I think it's gonna pay off in big ways. I think they're gonna be husbands to their wives, fathers to children, community leaders, certainly church, you know, congregational leaders.
It's going beyond just getting a diploma. It's beyond just the work that you pour in, but how are you intrinsically a better young man? But to be able to do a work from my heart and to continue to live towards his glory and everything that I do, like, you can't beat it, man. You can't beat it.
Your personal mission statement will help you to maintain your balance.
I would dare say the first and best thing we have going for us is kingdom first, the word first, right? And after that, everything else kind of falls into place.
We're doing this for Christ. And so that's where the kingdom part comes in. You know, we are doing it to serve Christ. So that's what it's all about.
Kingdom Prep is 4 years old, which means the first class of students has become the first class of graduates, heading out into the world to serve the kingdom. And overall enrollment at our Wells Lutheran Elementary Schools and area high schools is up 10% this year, a tremendous blessing that means thousands of additional children are hearing about Jesus every day.